You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 770 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we talk shop about musical freestyles with Kristen Becker. Then we discuss Catherine Donruth's training with Reese, me, which was made possible by the Dressage Foundation. Last but not least, we chat with Cindy Jackson on balancing ultra running and competing in the CDI Grand Prix ring. This is Reese Koffler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese!
Hi, Megan. How are you this week?
I'm good.
I love it.
I'm great. How are you?
I am also good. It's funny because you're going to hear later in the show, but I hosted Catherine Donruth for a week here at the farm. And girl, she exhausted me. She's like a superwoman.
I believe it. She is so much fun to talk to. And what a camp. I want to hire you and come to a camp.
You can come to camp. Apparently everybody in town was like, we want camp. I was like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. But we did everything from, we had a little campers and cocktails. Cause we joke, cause we have a bunch of campers here. You know, I own a camper. My friend has a camper and we're like, well, we'll do campers also for Catherine. Cause she was a camper, campers and cocktails. And so that was super fun. And yeah, we did all the things. So it was great. So I loved it. My horse is also working. Going, you know, doing our thing and
settling in.
Yeah, we're all settled in now. We're getting my young horse. I'm really working on getting him to go out at night. So this is my new project because it's a big adjustment and he's six and I would really like him to go outside at night. I think it would be good for him.
Oh, it's great for them. And they get out for more hours and they don't get sunburned. They don't get bleached. I think it's great.
Exactly. I'm night turnout. I just don't think he's done it since he was little, like a foal or, since, you know, in Denmark, he was in during the, at night. So we're working on it. So, we're doing that. And thankfully my sister's horse is also here and he's very good with night turnout. So we're working on that. And
how was Mother's Day?
Oh my gosh. Happy Mother's Day. We're a little bit later. You and I have the best moms.
Yes. So yes, we do.
We have great mamas who have been such huge support still of us and our riding careers. And yeah, it's so cute. My mom came out to campers and cocktails. She came out to a little party and she's like, I'm going to go see my horse. And she's gone for like 10 minutes. I was like, is he loose? Like where? She just finished up on her horse. She owns a horse with me, which is fun. Aww. Yeah, it was great. I'm not going to lie. We drank some Aperol spritzes and had a great time.
Oh, I'm so glad. And it's like you were a normal human. You know, we talk about this. This is what normal people do. This is amazing.
What do you like to do as a normal human?
I'm still figuring that out. Okay. Like, what did we do? Oh, we went to a Buddhist temple the other day down the road. It's literally a mile from the farm and I've never been there in 40 years. So got to branch out and go to an art museum and... Cool. Yeah, I did some wild things that I've never done. Oh. Highly, highly recommend it. And then I was so glad to get back to the barn.
Yeah, we were out in nature. So you know about this. I don't know if everybody on the show, I love a farmer's market. Oh, yeah. I have a basket. I like walk around. I get my coffee. I like walk. Sometimes I go twice around. it just depends on how much time I have. But
I might have missed something.
Oh yeah, I could have missed it. I like talked to everybody about their stuff and about their, I got some herbs and yeah, I mean, I got some fresh pasta. Oh, I got the guy's number. He does classes. I was like, I got a class. Maybe at camp we'll go make pasta. Yeah. So much fun. So I don't know about anybody else, but I love a farmer's market. So if anybody, there's a good one also in West Palm Beach. If anybody's ever in Wellington and wants something to do on a Saturday morning, the West Palm Beach Green Market is like amazing. And yeah, I just like to walk around. I mean, I'm probably the person that looks like lost, but I don't care. I buy flowers. I mean,
I generally am. Yeah. When I'm out of the barn, I'm like, where am I?
Help. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I love it. I don't yet take my dog. That would be a little too much, I think, too much fun for all of us. But yeah, that's what I like to do. I also, I like to cook too. I think that's why I think part of the farmer's market is like, I get stuff for the week and stuff I haven't tried and, you know, new pastas. And I'm like, oh, I haven't tried that shape. So I love the pasta guy. He's like my new favorite guy. And he sees me coming and he's probably like, cha-ching, here she comes.
Which one? Which one are you going to buy today?
He's like, I think you should try the herb pesto one. I'm like, yeah, okay. Give me two.
I think you should too, especially in town. You're a fabulous cook. I'm all for it.
You're so sweet. Okay. Well, we will do this next time you're here. We're going to go to the pasta guy. So, or maybe we'll do a class. So,
let's do a class.
Yeah, we'll do a class. I will say the one funny thing was it was almost noon. So I feel like it was fine, but there was a winery. I'm probably getting in trouble for saying this, but Kentucky wine is not good. Like, and I'll drink any rosé. Like, I mean, there's not a rosé that I'm not friends with. Right. Let me tell you, there is one. And I like saw the girl this week at her little booth and she like waved to me. I was like, oh no, I cannot do that tasting again. Like I can't. Oh, it was awful. I was like, she's like, hey, I was like, oh, and I was like, I'll come back and buy some wine later. Just
don't make eye contact. That was the first time you didn't
rant.
Go around the second lap.
Yeah. Go around her booth. Like, oh boy, she's so nice and passionate, but her rosé is terrible. So it's the one funny thing that happened to me, but yeah, we had a local horse show. We took some young horses and you'll hear Dr. Donworth went and rode fourth level and got some great practice. So I'm just a fan of schooling shows and try to get to them if you can. You can even host a schooling show. Like they do that a lot in Europe and it is so much cheaper to go, and the horses, they're so much fun. And it's great. So we had a great little local schooling show. It's actually from where I went to school. So I remember I'm really passionate about this horse show. It's for the Sayre School Horse Show. And I remember being in school and it was like a big deal. So it's just fun to go back as a grown up and as a professional. And, all my friends, we are running it. I should probably be more active in running it, but I show up with people. So I feel like that's a good start.
Hey, that's a huge start.
Yep. Yeah. So
huge.
Yeah. Definitely encourage people. You know, it's been running since I think it started back, and they brought it back when I was like in fifth grade, sixth grade. Wow. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, something too. But we have an awesome show tonight. I'm really excited. We've recorded the interviews already, and I think everyone's going to enjoy every single one of them. Listen, we were kind of calling it the superwoman hero.
Yep.
Like, wait till you hear these women. They're amazing. So we really hope you enjoy. And we're going to come back after this break from Kentucky Performance Products.
This nutritional minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight we are so excited to have Kristen Becker on the show. She is a USDF Diamond Award medalist, and she has a new company, Triumph Freestyles, and Kristen is located outside Chicago. Kristen, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You're great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, girl, you and I and Megan, we all go kind of way back. I think we did Young Riders together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Back in, that was only like 5 years ago.
Yes, I was thinking last summer, but yeah.
Yes, last summer, exactly. So it's so fun to chat with you and catch up. And you have a new venture that you're a part of.
I am. We're making freestyles now.
Tell us more. I love this.
So they're my favorite thing to do, my favorite thing to compete. Actually, the first one I did was when I did juniors. Like I said, last summer, you know, 20 years ago, and it was my favorite thing. And I'm like, how fun. You can do whatever you want to an extent and really showcase your horse, your talent, your personality. I'm like, this is fantastic. So growing up, I had another person, Melanie Mahalik, do all my freestyles. She was great. Zero complaints. I won a ton of awards and it was so much fun. And then one of my good friends actually went to school for music and really got into it. And she's like, what if we, for fun, made a freestyle? She's like, let me see if I could edit the music and do it. And I want you to show my horse. And I was like, well, you know, I'm like, the not professional freestyles never sound good. So I was like, I don't know. We'll try it though. And we'll see. Well, she's amazing at putting the music together. And it was so much fun to sit down, choreograph and highlight this horse and put music to him that his owner enjoyed, I enjoyed. And I was like, wow, this sounds really good. And we ended up bringing it to regionals and he qualified for nationals. And I was like, oh, well, this is a lot of fun. I want to do one for my horse. So then it just kind of snowballed from there in a really great way. I did freestyles for my own personal horses, started doing client horses, and then started expanding to people across the country. Really, we do a lot of it virtually. So it's been an awesome adventure that just kind of naturally happened.
I think it's so awesome because you're a rider and you know what it's like through every level, the things that can go wrong, the things that can go right. And so, but let's say I'm an adult amateur. I've only ridden through second level. I really want to ride a first level freestyle. What do they need to know before they compete first level freestyle? And then can you walk us through your process?
Absolutely. So you just need, you know, qualifying scores at first level in order to be eligible to ride the freestyle. If you're riding second level, I'm assuming you got that. And what it comes down to is the way that Jennifer and I do it is it's the first steps is a phone call. I want to get to know you, your personality. Tell me a little bit about your horse. And then we have a questionnaire that's super simple. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Nothing to be embarrassed about. If you're like, my horse is an amazing extended trot, I want, you know, to highlight that. Awesome. You know, we go through, is the shoulder in better one way than another? You know, we kind of go through the pieces of each individual level. You know, first level, okay, it'd be a leg yield, but we go through everything with you and your horse. Strengths, weaknesses, what do we want to hide? What do we want to do? Does your horse like loud music, soft music? What kind of music do you like? It's a very casual conversation. It has absolutely nothing to do with your riding ability, your skill. It's just, what are you comfortable with? It's such a personal, fun experience for you and your horse. And that's ultimately what we want to highlight, no matter what level. People have questions, you know, we're here to be the rule followers and tell you what you need to do or not to do in each level. But ultimately, it just very naturally, the conversation flows from there. We talk about what kind of music you like, what genre you want to go in. Some people give us carte blanche. And so we watch videos of the horse and kind of decide from the person's personality, from the looks of the horse, maybe what fits that horse. But usually people have some sort of direction they want to go into music wise. So after the initial conversation, they send us a video, walk, trot, canter, leg yield, lengthenings, whatever needs to be done in that level. Again, very casual, zero pressure. let's just see the horse. Let's find the rhythm of the horse. Let's go from there. We send music tidbits back and forth, like, hey, do you like this song? Do you hate this song? You know, kind of, it's relatively easy to narrow down the direction you go with the music. From there, I put together choreography. Usually there's one or two versions. You know, just, do you want to be a little bit riskier as a rider? Do you maybe have a young horse or an experience? Do you want to be conservative? Just do what needs to be done. So I'll send one version that has all the requirements. It's kind of middle of the road, a little hard, a little easy. And then I usually send one that's a little bit more difficult. And I say, take it home, take it with your trainer, ride through it, see how it feels. Tell me if you want to turn left instead of right. Simply adjust.
Yeah. That's important.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I rode a freestyle this weekend. I decided midway. I'm like, I'm turning left instead of right. My horse is a little bit more through here. That's what I'm going to do. That's the beauty of freestyles.
Yeah.
So we get the choreography together. Then you send me a video of you riding the choreography in a regulation size arena. That's huge. It needs to be the right size. And then once we have the video, we put the music to it. We send it back to you, the music kind of on top of the video so you can see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then we send you the link to the video and I'm like, go home, ride it. You know, ride through it with the music. Tell me, do you need a couple more strides here, a couple strides there? This is simply too long. You know, we have a very open conversation about it. And then we give you the final product and you go and you show it.
That's awesome. But I think the other thing you said, the regulation size, but also it's really important that your letters are actually walked out.
Yes.
That's really important. That's because I have to be honest, my arena in Kentucky is 1 meter too short and my freestyle designer, it always drives her crazy. And I'm like, it's okay. Yep. I know it's there. I did it. If you want to mark it out, but that drives her crazy a little bit more than it does me, but it, because of that. And then she's always like, walk out the arena again. So I think that's really important to remember that. And once you lay down that choreography that you're sending to you and your team, that is more formal, right? Like that's where you can't change it as much.
Yes.
Oh, but we talked, and what I love about Kristen is she said she wants to know how the show went and if adjustments need to be changed, she will help you with that process. Isn't that correct, Kristen?
Yes. I don't care how many times you ride it at home, you ride it at a show and it's just different.
Yeah.
So I want the feedback. I want to know, you know, like, did you ride it twice and you're just consistently ahead, or were you consistently behind, or was did the entry not work out, or anything, any little tidbit. I want to know the feedback. I know at a Rude Awakening this weekend, it was footing plays a big role in it. If you're on the, you know, the fiber footing, you move a lot faster than you do in sand. It is incredible the difference that it makes.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting feedback.
That's a little bit tough because you don't know what footing you're going to get at each show. So, you know, you can get really intricate or you can just be like, hey, overall, I was a little bit ahead, a little bit behind. What can we do, you know, to fix it? I love talking to, you know, my clients too, my freestyle clients, not just my personal clients with, it doesn't always have to happen at the exact letter. Of course, it's a little bit crisper. It's a little bit cleaner. But if you're like, I still have 3 strides until my extension, wait those 3 strides. Hit the extension. Don't be like, oh, I'm at M. I got to go. So I do talk to everybody. I try not to overstep and get too trainer-ish on them. Mm-hmm. But I do try to talk to people the ins and outs of how to ride a freestyle. If you get a little bit ahead, here's a spot you can catch up. If you get behind or come behind a little, if you get too far behind, here's a spot that you can catch up. So I do try to talk it through with them and without blowing their minds of, you know, where you can play with the freestyle a little bit. There's a little bit of breathing room in a lot of them.
And yes. Right. Until you get the CDI level. I like to say that because once you in the CDI level, the rules are a little bit different because you have to give your floor plan. But at the national level, don't worry. Yes. That's where you get a little time to play. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I like to just make that caveat because there is a difference once the judge knows, but that's not that's later in the game.
That's later in the game. Yep.
But it's true. And that's the fun part about freestyles really is that, like you said, you will get better. Like just cause it's on your paper. I think a lot of people do get in their head like, well, it's on my paper that I have to start an M. And it's like, that's where the artistic comes in, right?
Exactly. And you'd be floored. I'd say almost every single person looks at me like I have three heads when I'm like, you can do it at the next letter. They're like, no, I can't. I'm like, but you can.
Yeah.
It's okay. It is okay.
That's the freestyle part.
That's the freestyle. And it rocks everybody's world. I'm like, that's the fun part of it. But I know, I mean, we're dressage riders. We like plans. We like to be told what to do, when to do it, where to do it. So that's tough.
To a point. And when you say being realistic, like it takes 3 to 5 times going through the freestyle, and then you know, okay, this is where I need to make my changes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's so true. Right. And sometimes weird things happen. Like I've had it actually happen twice. So I look now is when I've started my freestyle, I was close to the speaker and my horse, it was two different horses, but they spooked because the music came on and they weren't ready for it. I wasn't either actually. And so now I actually look and when I am warming up of where that speaker is, because if it's right where I'm going to start, I may change my starts. I may go somewhere else.
Yeah, I've taken that into consideration, and we usually the music will start simply a little bit softer for the first like 3 seconds. Yeah. So I don't care what you say, if it's dead silence, that music comes on, the horses are like, whoa, you know, so we purposely make it on the CD a little bit softer.
Yeah.
To try to avoid that. But yeah, I mean, I know with my horses, they're all hot goofballs. I do start at the other side of the speaker for sure.
I love that.
Kristen, great information. Is there anything else that you would like to include to let our listeners know?
Yeah, I think everybody should have the confidence to do a freestyle. If you're out there and you're showing it, do it. There's nothing holding you back. There's no reason you have to wait to a certain level. You have your horse, you have your confidence, you have your relationship. Do it now. What are you waiting for? Why not? I think it's so much fun. You can show your personality and the horse's personality. And there doesn't need to be a deadline. You know, it's, I think everybody, I encourage everybody to do it. You don't need to be artistic or musically inclined. That's what we're here for. You just need to go out there and have fun with your horse and do it. And I think everybody should try it.
I love it. And I think that's a really good point. And I just tell people, number one, it's supposed to be fun and it will be fun, but
yes,
remember it's a process. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys have had it, but like sometimes the pony club kids, they're like, I've got to ride this next week. And I'm like, oh, that's not going to work so well. You want to have a little bit of time to get organized. I tell my students, I like 6 months. I don't know. That may be a longer timeline than you guys like, but I think that's the only thing, is it's stressful if you have signed up for a horse show and you don't have it, your music, or you're not finished, right?
Oh. Yes. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I've got a freestyle and I have gone in and in 2 weeks rode the freestyle, but I live for freestyles. Honestly, I totally agree with Kristen. Go out and have fun. Don't make it a test. Don't feel like you have to do it at a letter. Like, you can really bring in brilliance and harmony and just having fun with your horse. Like, you can go anywhere and they have no idea. So yeah, ride a freestyle.
Yeah. Have fun. Enjoy it. Well, I love it. Kristen, tell us, how can our listeners find you online if they have questions about the process or they need a freestyle? How do they find you?
Absolutely. We have, honestly, the easiest is my website, KristenBeckerDressage.com, and there's a link to Triumph Freestyles, or you can do TriumphFreestyles.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. You can message me, email me, whatever's the easiest. I think the hardest step of the whole process is just reaching out and getting started.
Fantastic. I love it so much. And we wish you all the best. It sounds like a great, great new project.
Thank you. I love it so far.
Feed and supplements? You bet. Vaccination and dewormers? Got them. Halters and helmets? In stock. Prescription medication? Yep, and approved by your veterinarian. Your horse's favorite treat and toys? Of course. All these and more ship straight to your barn fast and free for orders over $49. You can count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine. Well, tonight I am so happy to have my friend and my camper from last week, Catherine Donworth, on the show. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad. This is your third appearance on the Dressage Radio Show. So we're so happy to have you back. And we just had a very fun week together.
We did.
You applied for the Dressage Foundation grant, training grant, and you literally just spent last week with me. So have you recovered?
It's taken a day, but yes, I have recovered.
I love it. Well, tell everybody how this process started, because it started a little while ago.
Yeah, it started, I guess, last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, towards the end of last summer, the beginning of the fall, I decided to apply for one of the adult amateur training grants from the Dressage Foundation. So first up, let me say a huge, massive thank you to the Dressage Foundation and everybody who donates or volunteers or makes them work their magic to help adult amateurs and others too. I mean, there's a bazillion grants on there. So yeah, massive, massive shout out and thank you to them.
Yes. And you really applied, right? I mean, that's kind of the magic of it. I think everyone gets intimidated actually by that process. So you tell us a little bit. I think I nudged you a little and I was like, hey,
there was
some
nudging.
For this.
Yes. Yeah. There was a little bit of nudging. Yeah. I mean, you just think it's not for you, right? You think, why would they give me a grant? Why am I applying for a grant? Like, why would I deserve a grant? You know, that's kind of what you think. But they do, I think it's 8 or 9 adult amateur grants for different areas of the country. And it's all very clear on their website that, you know, they actually do a really good job of laying out exactly what the application process is and the deadlines and what the format of your application should take. Like, there's definite sections that they want you to fill out. And you do have to be quite methodical. Like, it does take some time to get your proposal together. I'd say I probably spent 4 or 5 hours altogether, not all at one time, but all, you know, getting all the information together and coming up with a plan and contacting you and other people involved and make sure everything was coordinated and, you know, the financials, you know, because the grant was for $1,500, which is a significant amount of money. Yes. And you can't spend it on a pack or show entries or a freestyle, or it has to be spent on training.
Right. So we got it. Well, you got connected with the Dressage Foundation and they said you won the grant.
Yes. That was a happy day. We had some celebrations that day. Yes,
we did. Well, we try to celebrate at every step of the way.
Everything. Yay. It's
very good at celebrating. And it was super fun. So the next step was, you know, we had to figure out a week because you are a very, very busy small animal veterinarian. We keep her working really hard just on our own. But so, you know, it was hard, right? I mean, you had to find a relief vet. I mean, it was a whole week off, right?
Yes. I decided to take the week off. I was considering just doing half days and, you know, that sort of thing. But then I knew that I would get stuck at work, or I'd get stressed out about making my lesson on time, and my mind would not be fully engaged in the process. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to take the whole week off and really enjoy every second of it. And I think that was the right decision, because no one from work contacted me, which was incredible. But I was able to just kind of immerse myself in the whole week of dressage, which I haven't done at camp. I know we were calling it camp, but it's really just, it was just me.
It was just Catherine.
I was like a 12-year-old at camp with, you know, a riding school pony for a week, you know. I really haven't spent a week like that since I was a kid. So it was incredible.
I know. Camp may become a yearly thing, which we would love. But exactly what happened. You guys moved in. You came to Maplecrest, you had your stall, and you really did. You moved in for the week. And can you tell everybody kind of what were some things that we worked on during the week?
So we worked, the first day, first lesson, we kind of set some goals. And for me, the one of the major goals was to improve my position.
Yeah.
become more balanced, you know, which is an ongoing struggle, right?
Oh, game was on.
Yeah. And then, so we used a lot of the training aids to kind of work on my position. We had the bands, the ones that go over your shoulders down to your legs, you know, to encourage you to stretch your leg down.
I love those.
Oh, they're so great. They're awesome.
There were the balls, which, you know, we all remained adult about, and there was no joking around with that at all.
those are the Franklin balls.
Yeah. The Franklin balls. Yes.
Those are great too.
Those are great too. Yeah. But you know, yeah. I think one of the things that it takes too is those take, like, for example, the way I do the Franklin balls, that's almost a full lesson, you know, until we figure out which ones work the best for you and your horse. And sometimes when, you know, we see each other usually once a week, you know, we have things to work on, you know, or a show coming on or whatever. So it was nice to say, okay, we've got a little bit of time where we will just dedicate to using some of these aids, making sure you had just purchased the bands that go over your shoulder at the 3-day event and they just come in. So it gave us some time to work on those without sort of impeding on our lesson. Right. And that was nice.
Yeah. I think that was the beauty of the week, you know, that there was, like you say, we meet every week or maybe every other week, depending on our schedules. And it always feels like there's not bad pressure, right? I'm not talking bad pressure, but there is a little pressure to get stuff done. This week, we were able to kind of take our time and, you know, concentrate on the little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was great. And, you know, and worked on Doolin as well as my horse. I think he came away a lot stronger because having to do that, you know, for 5 days in a row.
Yeah. So tell everybody quickly about Doolin, because he is the coolest horse.
He is the coolest horse. I've probably had him 7 years now, and he's a dressage horse by accident. I did not purchase him as a dressage horse. I purchased him off the back of a cattle trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's of unknown parentage, unknown age. Turns out I did the genetic test. He's a Holsteiner cross.
Wow.
Holsteiner quarter horse cross. There's some, no, thoroughbred as well. Holsteiner thoroughbred quarter horse cross.
And it came from out west, like legitimately.
Came from out west. Yeah. Dress Western broke. I couldn't turn right when I got him.
No. Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So he has adapted pretty well and, you know, has gone along with his whole journey. I think sometimes he seems puzzled by the whole process, but wondering what we're doing, but he's pretty good. He's a good boy.
He's really good. By day 5, we let him go out for a hack. He was like, can I please go outside?
We went out hacking in the rain.
Yeah, it was raining.
Lovely.
We had a pretty good week, except that the time frame that Catherine wanted to hack. Really, they were happy to go out and go hacking.
Well, what was your biggest takeaway?
What was my biggest takeaway? I think working on him and his uphill frame and getting that short, bouncy, as we call it, the bouncy trot.
Yes.
For that you need for fourth level and to be more consistent in that. And that was a big takeaway. And then my position was another one. I think it was nice because we didn't focus on a bunch of like test riding or movements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of back to, not, I won't say basics, but it was back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
Which I think really helped. And then the stuff kind of, the other stuff naturally came along with that then.
Right. And at the end of the week, we were lucky because there was a local horse show. It was a schooling show, but it was perfect because we were kind of able to put into practice what we had done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Oh, cool. Yeah. And Doolin's kind of tricky at a show. He's not naughty in the sense of like bucking or rearing or, you know, napping or anything like that, but he can kind of bring his A game some days. And then some days he just, we enter the ring and he's like, no. And he just stops trying. And then he's way behind my leg. And so we got to address that, which was nice at a schooling show. We got to have a contingency plan about how we were going to work through that. But he was really good. He was really good on.
He was really good. And actually some of it was, you know, riding fourth level is a lot. And
it's hard. It's really hard.
First time. Yeah, it's really hard. And sometimes I'm going to be on Doolin's team here. Sometimes I'm not Doolin. Sometimes Catherine gets a bit nervous. And so we had a plan because you had gone to a horse show, maybe a little bit early for his fitness level and what happened in the winter. So Catherine went to a horse show before I came home from Florida. And I had mentioned, I was like, I don't know. We do virtuals when I'm in Florida, but you know, yeah. the winter was so bad up here that I was like, yeah, I don't, but she's like, I want to go. And I was like, okay. And it didn't go as planned. The weather was really bad. No. It was really windy and gross. And I would have said, don't go, but that's just hindsight.
I'm too stubborn.
Yeah, she's too stubborn. And she went, it didn't go well. And so I said, well, why don't we enter the horse show after camp? So we'll have a week of working together. And then we actually entered two classes, which was cool because she went in and rode her test and her 4-1, and her trot work was actually pretty good. I was happy with her trot work and mainly most her walk work. But in the canter, I think it was good because we spoke to the judge and again, very local show, but the judge was great. And we sent Catherine, we had entered the two and there was one ride in between. So it was perfect. She was able to come out and we talked really quickly about what I wanted her to do again. And then she went back in and rode the canter, the walk and the canter work again. And I think that also worked well. So that is kind of a takeaway yeah. tip that I wanted to give to everybody too was, you know, if you are having an issue, sometimes if you can go to a schooling show, that's a good place to work through it. Right. Wouldn't you say, Catherine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And entering the two classes was great because it's a schooling show. So it doesn't cost a fortune.
Right.
You know, sometimes when you do a sanctioned show, it is a lot of money. It's an investment and things start to go wrong and you're like, oh no, all that money. Yes. But this time it's not that. And then, you know, you have that backup plan to ride. So yeah, I think that was, and I'm going to, my plan is to do more of that this year. And, you know, because that was another thing that we worked on during the week is just the overall move from third to fourth level is massive.
Yes. Huge.
Yeah. And my horse hasn't done it before and I haven't done it before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like the blind leading the blind, but you know.
Yeah. And then you take it to a horse show and that just adds in yeah. so much more that it just makes it just complicates things more. And we are lucky here in Kentucky. We have a great little, it's called Masterson Station. It's a local park and it's a really good venue for things just like this. And we're always at the end of the day. So it's always quiet. And then, you know, we are going to a smaller recognized show in a couple of weeks. And I think that was really helpful for you guys too. Yeah. So I think, you know, again, we tried to be very methodical, but then we did some fun things too. I can't.
We did. We did lots of fun things. There was eating and drinking. There was road trips to watch.
Where?
Which involved some bakery stops on the way and maybe some margaritas and tacos afterwards.
Yeah. I know.
There was a massage yeah. situation that happened.
So it sounds weird, but we have a great massage therapist that comes to the farm and my husband and I get massage, not together. Try not to make this weird, but she's great. She comes and does massages at the farm, which is awesome. So I just called her and I said, we're having camp. Can you come this week? And then you also rode the simulator.
So, yeah. I took a afternoon, well, an hour and an afternoon and went to ride the equine simulator that we have here in Lexington. It's a really phenomenal piece of equipment. You bring your own saddle. And she puts it on this fake horse and it's connected to a computer program that measures the pressure points. And it also measures leg aids and bit pressure.
Yeah.
Like you hold the reins and she can press a button and you're walking or you're trotting or you're collected trot, canter, extended canter. It even piaffs and passages, which is pretty cool. You can leg yield, you can yeah. half pass, you can do changes. So it's weird feeling, but it's yeah. great because you can practice and practice and practice without, you know, killing your horse.
Yeah. So we sent you there. And then at the end of the week, I'm not going to lie, but we did have cocktails and campers. We had a little cocktail party at the end of the week. Really, it was just an excuse to have a party.
Any excuse.
I want to go to camp. I think there should be a professionals camp. This is awesome. Would you recommend this to everyone?
Yes. If it's possible. I mean, everybody's busy, right? And all that sort of stuff. But to be able to take a week off and just ride and concentrate on everything dressage. And just, I tried to learn through osmosis as well, just watching lessons and watching Reese ride her horses and have her talk me through what she's doing while she's riding them. That's super helpful as well. So just kind of trying to soak it all up. And my horse did not want to leave. He was living his best
life. He did love it.
the like Ritz-Carlton of equestrian establishments. He had a whole field. He doesn't like other horses, so he had a whole field to himself and a stall. We don't have a stall. I pasture board where I am. So he was very happy.
He can come back anytime. He was like the perfect camper. He really was. He was perfect the entire week. He was such a good boy. And you also started reading the book club book for the month, right?
Yes. I'm almost halfway through. It's
oh,
really good.
Any preview?
Really good.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent.
I love it how you can kind of dip in and dip out and, you know, and it's interesting the historical perspective. Some of the articles are a bit older. So
cool.
Especially the one about helmets and wearing helmets, the debate about helmets. That's really interesting to look at it from a viewpoint now. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes. I had two copies. We had covered the book years ago on the podcast. And so I was like, it was in Catherine's locker when she arrived for camp.
I know. I had a locker with a sign on it and saying, welcome to camp. Yeah.
We had a good time. I'm not going to lie. Catherine exhausted me, but we had a super time. And again, I think you can really take this venue, this idea, and you could even, we talked about it. So many people are like, we want to come to camp. So we talked about maybe doing it for a weekend, but I think it's, you could take any of these ideas and do it in a shorter period of time or even a 3-day weekend. So it feels a little special. So we have to extrapolate on that idea from now on, don't we, Catherine?
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
definitely. Because everybody, like you say, everybody's on board. Everyone's like, oh, I want to do camp.
Yeah. So we've talked about doing it again, but we also loved it. But again, really, I hope everyone takes, we had a blast. I had a blast having Catherine. I want her to come back anytime. She's always most welcome. And so is Doolin. He's perfection. But
he's
it was really fun. Yeah. And it was fun for me too, to have a shadow. I did ask if she wanted to be a horse trainer at the end of the week. And she said no.
No, just my own horse. I can do one.
it was cute. Well, I love it. Well, Catherine, again, congratulations. We're so glad you enjoyed the week, and you know, I hope people apply for these grants. People do win them.
They do win them,
and it's so worth the time. So please apply, and thank you again to the Dressage Foundation. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you to the Dressage Foundation. They're amazing. I have received a grant, and I can't say enough. And I also believed I couldn't get one as well. And they do grant them to us.
Yes. Yes. To everybody. So awesome. Well, congratulations, Catherine, again. And we'll do it again.
Equine Discounts provides exclusive discounts on nationally known products for everyone in the horse world. Current partners include John Deere, Big Ass Fans, Sherwin Williams, ODP Business Solutions, Farmers Insurance, and Pets Best. They offer equine members deep discounts on everything from paint, fans, office supplies, and pet insurance to farm equipment, such as tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and gators. Anyone with a paid membership to any equine association qualifies for equine discounts. Whether you are a member of a national association or a local equine affiliate, you qualify by being a member of the equine world. A percentage of every sale through equine discounts is returned to the equine industry. Call 866-678-4289 to see how an equine association member you can save money while helping support the industry at the same time.
I love this. I'm looking into this, Megan. This is amazing. I'm like, this is awesome.
Give me some discounts.
Well, tonight we are so excited to have Cindy Jackson. She is a CDI rider and FEI trainer. She rides a horse named Florison or Jack. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We are so happy to talk to you. We were talking a little bit off tape and I was like, we got to save this for the tape because not only are you a CDI rider, you are a marathon runner. This is insane to me. I'm stuck here. Tell me more.
Okay. So let me see. I started running off and on, like prior to having my son. But then I would say in late 2017, I started running more consistently. And in 2019, like 2018, I did my first half marathon. 2019, I did my first marathon, qualified for Boston. And then in 2020, I was supposed to go to Boston, but we all know 2020 got really interesting. And so they postponed Boston till September, and they like made the field a lot smaller. And I didn't end up making the cut for that group. So since I wasn't going to make Boston, I had some trail running friends in the community that I had been running with all summer. We decided to run an ultra, which is basically anything over 26.2. So we signed up for an ultra that was going to go from Phoenix up. It's called Crown King Scramble, and it goes from Lake Pleasant in Phoenix all the way up to Crown King, which is about a 6,500 foot climb. Over 31 miles. And 2 days before that race was supposed to happen, there was a fire and an evacuation in Crown King, which was our finish line. So we did a self-supported, well, husband-supported 50K here in town, like on our home trail. So that was my first ultra. And I just have not really done road running since then. I really like doing the ultra marathons. I like being on the trails. I like being out in nature. I find like just a lot more fun in that. So I've upped my distance, you know, gradually, maybe not so gradually to some people's opinions, but my distance that I like to run for races now is the 100-mile distance. And I love to do it in the mountains where I can be out in nature for as long as possible. And yeah, so that's the race distance that I do now, which is, you know,
it's crazy. Amazing. And I love all the pictures you post. So please keep running and keep posting.
Oh, I will.
Pictures. Yeah, that's as much nature as I'm getting out there, girls. I'm not going out there for a 100-mile run in the nature. I'm like, well, I'm too dressage rider for that, I think. But Cindy, tell us more about the horse, because you are a CDI rider and showing actively. So tell us more about that part of your career.
So yeah, I've been training horses since, you know, I mean, honestly, just riding whatever I could ride since I was, you know, a kid, but I kind of quit my day job, so to speak, when I was 21 and have been building, you know, myself and my business ever since then. And the horse that I recently showed in the CDIs, the owner and I have been working together for 22 years, which I know is kind of special in this industry to have a client stay with you for that amount of time. So I'm very aware of like what a gift that is to have a long-standing relationship with somebody. And she had sponsored me on a different horse years ago named Don Angelo, and eventually took over the ride on him. And then we bought Florison when he was 3, and bought him with the intent of training him up through the Grand Prix and ultimately campaigning him, you know, in the CDIs. So it's been a really fun journey, and he's just, you know, horse-wise, just the love of my life. Just really incredible. We went to the developing PSG championships in 2021. And then early in 2022, he had a joint injection that went bad and had an infected fetlock. And we were very close to losing him. The infection was very persistent. And after surgery and multiple hospital stays, he did make a full recovery against, you know, what everybody kind of thought was going to happen. So yeah, we lost about a year of training on him at that point. He was kind of schooling the Grand Prix at that point, but not quite ready to show it. So lost a year, and then have been kind of working our way back since then. So the CDI was, you know, really just a sweet victory, just showing up there and being able to do it because of kind of the journey that we kind of ended up on getting here.
Oh, that's amazing. I did not know that, Cindy. I'm so glad he was able to come back. And
yeah,
last year, did you show in the National Grand Prix, or did you just jump all in?
No, I did the National Grand Prix last year. And kind of got our feet wet. It had been a few years since I had been like finished a Grand Prix horse. And I had another horse in my barn that kind of trained up right about the same timeline. So I think I came out with Jack at the I2, and then Muffin, whose real name is Aaron first, but I got him out at the Grand Prix. So I kind of got my feet wet with Muffin at the Grand Prix and Jack at the I2, and then brought Jack through to the Grand Prix shortly afterwards. So kind of had a season doing the Grand Prix, and then, you know, kind of had to jump in this year for the CDIs. It's a rough year to get started in the CDIs because the judging is very tough right now with all the scrutiny that's going on in the dressage world. Yes. So I think it's been tough for everybody in the CDIs this season, but I'm grateful to get the opportunity to get out there and do it. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the CDI Grand Prix is no joke. I mean, it's no joke. I've not done the California, but I've done the Florida, and yeah, you go in there and you get a full appreciation. It's a different appreciation for sure.
It is. Yes. Yeah. It puts everything into a totally different perspective.
Yeah. You're like, I am no longer in the little leagues anymore.
Things that you were pretty proud of, you go down and you do it. You're like, oh, yep, that's just a six. Okay. We're there. We're doing it. I definitely had my fair share of show nerves just getting back in the CDI ring again after quite a few years of not being there. So it was exciting to kind of get back in there again. So
that is awesome. So I feel you, girl. And you know, I think CDIs are, you know, so few people get to ever do it. And so you do kind of lose perspective sometimes of like, wow, this is pretty cool that you're out there. And I mean, girl, you're second place in a Grand Prix special. Like, that's no joke.
It was second out of two. There were just two of us in that class.
Girl, so don't you're get still too there. Excited.
But hey, I stood right next to Gunter and, you know, like listened to our anthem. So I was pretty happy to be there. So
I love that. So, I mean, first of all, having a CDI horse is already no joke, but how do you fit in? You know, you're running and you're also a mom. Like, how are you doing all this? You're like a superwoman.
Yeah. So there's a cute article of the day in the life on the Chronicle that you can find that kind of goes through what it looks like for me on a daily basis. So it was last summer that we did that article. But basically, yeah, my day starts at 3 a.m. I get up, I feed my very loud barking dog so that she doesn't keep the whole family up. And I usually lace up pretty early and hit the trails or the road on my running schedule, whatever my coach has me doing that day. I usually wrap that up and get to work to the barn by 6 a.m., especially like summer months. It's always a 6 a.m. start. And then I work from 6 straight through till usually between 1:30 to 2:30, depending on how many horses I have for the day. And I do a mix of, I ride some and I teach some and I split rides on a couple horses. So I'm in the saddle off and on throughout the morning and day. And then after I get done riding, I sometimes have my son. So my son homeschools also because I just need more stuff to do. Yeah. That was also like a 2020 twist. You know, they sent us our kids home, told us that we needed to teach them for a little while. So he was a kindergartner and we started homeschooling at that time. And we just kind of haven't really turned back. So he's 11 and he's totally grown up at the barn with me, with my clients. And so he'll come to the barn with me some days and kind of pal around and hang out with my groom and chat with all of the boarders and everybody loves him. And he's old enough now that a lot of his curriculum, he can go through and do the work on his own. And then we get together in the afternoons and go over the, you know, look over answers and make sure he's done stuff right. And so we spend the afternoon doing homeschool and then we get him off to gymnastics usually. So, and then my husband sort of takes over the nighttime hours because I'm pretty cooked by then. So gymnastics pickup is his deal at 8 o'clock at night. And I'm already crawling into bed at 7 if I can get away with it. So
Fair.
So that's kind of like a normal day for me as that sort of drill. That's what we do.
That's awesome. Do you have more CDIs planned for this summer?
Not for the summer. We actually are. I'm always excited when May, June comes around in Phoenix because we start to kind of just hunker down for the summer because it's so hot here. And the CDIs on the West Coast are done. There's no more. Like, I think last weekend was the very last one out here, and there won't be anything else until November. So that's our next CDI goal is to kind of try for the Grand Prix stuff again in the fall. But I've got one more show to try to get some qualifying scores for festivals. So if we qualify for festival, which we would have to do a wild card at this point because my CDI scores weren't high enough for what the requirements need. But if I can swing it with a wild card, we'll go to festival. And if not, we'll just kind of try again in the fall and do our CDIs then. I think in the fall, the requirements for the Grand Prix champion national championships have changed. So now it's going to be all CDIs. You can't do any open shows with it. So we have to kind of revamp the schedule and make sure we hit the right shows so we get enough CDIs in for the qualifiers this next year.
Yeah. I know, and they're making some changes. I think it's going to be a little bit earlier in the year. And this is a tough year because a lot of the horses aren't going to go to Europe this year. So the national championships will be very competitive.
I hope it is. Yeah. I hope a lot of people show up. I mean, it's the last handful of years, the timing has just been off with like the top tier group ends up going off to Europe. And then it's just kind of like the mid-pack group that kind of seems to go to festival. So I think part of why they're pushing it up to an earlier, you know, timeline is they want to have everybody there. You know, they want to have the best of the best in the national championships and then springboard those people over to Europe that are in the top group there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be exciting. It'll be fun to see that. And there are some changes, I think, on the horizon for sure.
And
so for the summer, because I'm interested, because do you guys kind of, is it more like a little bit of a rest time? Like, how do you handle summer out in Arizona?
So my days, the horse's length of ride time usually decreases in the summer. So, and it depends on the horse. I have a couple of horses who are like complete rock stars and can handle, you know, riding like in the middle of the day in the covered arena, and they're fine, you know, and then I have other ones that really struggle. So I kind of jumble my schedule around and get my horses that don't handle the heat as well done earlier. Most everybody drops from 45 minute lessons down to 30 minutes, or they'll do like 45 minutes, but I'll double up, like I'll ride one horse while I'm teaching somebody on theirs, just to kind of condense the day so we can be done a bit earlier. So yeah, but we definitely kind of, you kind of hope that when you go into summer, we're coming in with a pretty good amount of fitness on the horses. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, like, don't expect to like move up a level. I think we do the flip of what people in really, really cold climates do, right? Like you guys just kind of, you know, tough out the really tough months. And then in the spring, you kind of start ramping everything up again. And we just kind of do that through the summer. And in the fall, our horses, you know, have continued working through the summer. So they do still have a good level of fitness. And then I feel like we can really hit the ground running in the fall when it cools off. They're all really ready to go. So
yeah. No, I love that because I do Florida in the winter and it's kind of the same thing. Like usually in July and August, I'm in Kentucky. And so it can be hot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like I exactly flip your schedule. And I think that's important to realize sometimes. I think people think, oh, like we go full on all year and we don't. Usually in the summer, you can't, you know, in the summer in July. And I try not to show unless I really have to. I usually go with my family, you know, kind of take a week off. So I think that's really important to remember. Like you flip your schedule, you have to flip a little bit.
You have to. Yeah. And I think it's good for the horses. You know, I try to get out on the trails a little bit more. We have one show in June that we go to here in town that's actually at Westworld and it's all air conditioned, including the stabling. Kind of like, even if we don't need scores, it's just kind of fun to go to that show and just get out of the heat for a weekend and just to have all the horses be able to work in air conditioned environment, you know?
That's great.
So that's a fun one. And then after that, it's like, there's nothing until, you know, October. So it gets,
I love that.
I would say August, mid-July to mid-September is sort of our most brutal time because we actually have like some humidity too. I mean, not humid like you guys know, but like for us really humid. So,
right.
So yeah.
Well, sorry. When it's over 100, it's still hot. Like,
it's hot.
And then
we'll, our humidity might not get more than 40 or 50% on our normal, like really humid days, but it's still a lot when you do the heat index with it. So
too much.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that you flip that and that's really in your schedule. I think that's really something that's worth talking about. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, so Cindy,
it's always a little hard when we do qualify for festival.
Yes.
Ready for festival. Like the year that I went, I was at a barn that had an aqua tread. And so it was just great. Nice. Like that summer, my horse, I trained him 4 days a week, and then he went on the aqua tread 2 days a week. And that was enough to keep him fit enough. And honestly, like the benefit we have here to going to someplace like Chicago in August is the heat that we've been dealing with all summer long. They're kind of ready for in Chicago, you know, because the year I went, it was like, you know, 95 with 90% humidity. It was brutal.
Brutal.
So, rough.
I had to ride a Grand Prix special, I think, that year. And it was not fun. It was hot.
Yeah, really tough. No. So, yeah, I just had a pre-St. George horse there. And I can't imagine trying to do the Grand Prix with one of them there. It was a lot.
We didn't do well. We melted. Not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, you know what they didn't? You know what they didn't do at that show? They didn't wave coats, did they?
No,
they did at one. Did one they? Of the shows they did.
Honestly,
not the one I was there. I would never not wear a coat.
Exactly. I was like, you'd have to
same thing.
Peel it off my cold dead body. You know, I was like, I'm not going in there. I'm getting pictures.
I tell people if it's too hot for you to wear your coat while you're riding your horse, then it's too hot to ride your horse. So yeah. Either put it on and suffer with your horse or don't ride.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Cindy, you are so cool. I just love hearing
your story.
You were so inspirational. No, girl, you are so inspirational. I can't even imagine.
Oh, thank you. Inspirational, crazy. I mean, it kind of depends on who you ask.
Hey, whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
Yep. Yep. Well, we're getting it done.
How can our listeners follow you online and see your journey and hear all about everything? Because it's so fun.
Oh my gosh. I'm like the worst with social media. I'm on Facebook and it's CYNDI Jackson. That's easy. And then I do have Instagram. What's my Instagram handle? Let me look. I don't even know what it is. I think it's Cindy to the Max. Okay. Cindy to the Max is my Instagram for my personal one. And then I think I also have a business one that one of my students manages. And that one's just what I don't know. It's tothemaxdressage.com. So To the Max Dressage is my business name, which is it's named after my first horse, Maxine. So yeah, So when she was retiring and I was like really starting up like my LLC and doing my business, we were trying to figure out a business name. And so one of my now clients came up with that idea. She was a friend of mine back then. So yeah. So To the Max Dressage. Also, I kind of, as you may have gathered, I do things kind of to extreme.
To the max.
Yeah, it's kind of my style. So I have tothemaxdressage.com is my website. That's my business Instagram. And then Cindy to the Max is my personal one, which I share to both of those. You know, you'll see my running stuff more on the personal one. But
I love it. Yeah, thank you so much, Cindy. And we're going to follow you and continue watch your journey. It's really cool. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
It was
Cindy.
Great chatting with you guys. Thank you.
Well, we want to remind everybody about our book club book. Catherine started it. Megan, we're going on a cool little family vacation. We're going to be in the car for quite some time this week. So that baby's coming with me and some earbuds. Just saying.
I need to get on it. Ooh, yeah. I'm slacking.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm looking for it. But remember, everybody, it's Collective Remarks by Anne Gribbins for April through June. So we still have some time. So get on it because we have that coming up. It should be really fun. It's a great book, actually. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Chewy, and Equine Discounts. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.